Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. We got Alonzo Bowden coming in this weekend, and we got a big show on Sunday, too. I talked to Alonzo, a guy that I have history with, so that was fun to catch up with some comedy history, my history, where it intersected his history and did not intersect again for many, many years. All right, let's get into what we're talking about here. It is the end of July as we wrap up July on the 31st. That's Wednesday night. There's an open mic at the Comedy Castle at 7:30 p.m. A lot of fun comics on that one. I know Doug Henry is one of my students. He's going to be emceeing, and it's fun to see Doug and everyone on the open mic night. So you can just show up, get a ticket there for $5, I think they are, and watch a whole bunch of cool comics on open mic night. And then Alonzo Bowden comes in Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Alonzo Bowden, a lot of you will know from either Last Comic Standing, NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He's also done numerous car shows. He's worked with Jay Leno on a lot of his stuff, on The Tonight Show, and just all kinds of stuff. A ubiquitous comedy star, I would say. And everyone loves Alonzo. So that's on Thursday, the 1st of August at 7:30 p.m. The Friday show's on the 2nd. We got two of them for you at 7:15 and 9:45. And then Saturday night at 7 p.m. and 9:30. Come see Alonzo. Great openers, too, I got to say. Unbelievable. Al April opening with his autonyms. I have autonyms right here on my desk. I love autonyms. Maybe we'll do some autonyms after the interview. How about we do that in tribute to the great Al April, who we'll see. And Adam Deggie is the feature act. So Adam, I can't remember last time Adam was at our club, but we had a great interview. And he's done at least one or two other great interviews with Tom McCarthy on this show when Tom was the host. And Adam's one of our favorite guys. So, three guys. One of the best lineups of the year. Is it safe to call it that? I think so. Come out for those shows. All right. Okay. And like I said, big show on Sunday. Sarah Sherman from Saturday Night Live. Currently as part of... I always get this wrong. Is it the cast? Is it the featured players? I did this with Michael Longfellow last year, and he corrected me. And he corrected me in a way that they must tell you to correct people when they say you're on the cast of Saturday Night Live and you're not. Whatever you're on, your name is later in the credits. I don't know where Sarah's name is, but I know that this show is very popular. Tickets are going quite quickly. It's Sarah Squirm. You might also know Sarah by that name, by that stage name. And Sarah's done a lot of funny stuff with guys like Eric Andre. She did a movie with, in the movie with Adam Sandler. Yeah, she co-stars with Adam Sandler in that movie. And yeah, very, very few tickets left for that one. Okay? So if you want to come on Sunday, it's a single show. It's at 7:30. And tickets are almost gone. I did not click fully around on the website there, but I'm having a hard time finding a table with available tickets. So maybe that one's all sold out. I don't know. Oh no, table 53 has tickets. Table 53 has tickets. Go. Oh, table 53 has one ticket. There's one ticket. You could buy the one ticket left for Sarah Sherman at table 53. Well, which seat is it? I'll try to remember who this person is. Maybe you heard it from me. You would be sitting at 53J. It's $30 plus the fees. I'll give you VIP treatment if I seat you. I'm working that show. Come on. Sarah Sherman. Let's sell it out, guys. Sunday night at 7:30 with Sarah. All right? All right. Let me tell you a little bit about Alonzo and what we talked about, because I had a fun talk with him. You know, one of the things is that Alonzo is a topical comedian, and he likes to talk about things that are in the news. And as I was setting up the interview, I said, well, you talk about things that are in the news. You think we got some stuff to talk about? And, of course, we went from there. So he'll hear us talk about, you know, and it's one of my, the rather than getting a guy's life story, rather than getting someone's comedy career in a nutshell, in the 20, 30 minutes I have to interview somebody, we talked about a lot of stuff going on in the world. Of course, the Olympics have started. We talk about that. We talk about the election. Kamala Harris has replaced Joe Biden on the Democratic ticket, what that means for Trump. We talk about cancel culture and comedy, and he has some really smart words about that. I watched Alonzo's last two specials preparing for this interview. And he does talk a lot about that, and I think it's real smart stuff. So listen for that. And just on and on, we talk about cars, Car Town. I tell him about my relationship with cars. I had that car testing job. I'll tell him all about it. He is not impressed, but hey, here, there you go. it was fun, and you'll hear right at the beginning of this interview, Alonzo and I hadn't talked in over 20 years. We worked together on the road. I'll tell you that story. And I think we became buddies on the road, and which is such an ironic thing to say. Now I'm going to say this. I didn't tell him this, but I go through all of the channels to get these headliners. So that involves an agent. That involves sometimes a manager. I think in Alonzo's case, there was a publicist involved. Numbers were exchanged. Alonzo called me. And of course, as I'm waiting to do the interview and the phone rings, it turns out I have Alonzo Bowden's phone number in my phone from 20 years ago. I could have texted the guy and said, hey, you want to talk? But I went through all the channels. Mark Ridley even sent an email. It was a whole thing. But we got Alonzo, and I was really happy to talk to him. It's a great interview. I think, again, Alonzo is one of those comics that you can take your grandma out of this show. You can take your mom, your dad. You got grown kids that are over 18. Bring them. He's just, he appeals to everyone because he's a nice guy. He makes a lot of sense. He's smart and funny. And he's one of my favorites. So let's listen to me talking to Alonzo Bowden right now. And we'll come back after that. All right, here you go, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, let's welcome to the Comedy Castle podcast, Mr. Alonzo Bowden, our weekend headliner. How you doing, Alonzo?
I am great, Joel. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's a pleasure to have you at the club this weekend. I know it's not your first time through the Comedy Castle, but you and I have never hung out at the Comedy Castle. I've been on the staff for years, and I've actually never seen you at the Comedy Castle. Did you know that?
Well, I have been there. I don't know why you take the weekends off that I show up. I don't know. I don't know if that's personal or, you know.
Well, it's definitely not personal because I was a road comic for how many years? 13 years I worked the road. And you and I spent a weekend together at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Well, what more could you want out of life? What more could you? No, listen, I've always loved Dr. Grin's. Yeah. You know, the great thing about Dr. Grin's, it's at the Bob, right? Mm-hmm. People are like, what's the Bob? Big old building. They keep things simple there.
Uh-huh. But those are always fun weekends. I would come in and open, and like guys like you would be the headliners flying in, and you didn't have a car. So I would always end up hanging out with the headliners and going to the movies and going to dinner, and we did all that stuff. It was fun.
Well, that's part of the comedy tradition that I think is gone now.
Yeah.
Because, when I remember when I was an opener, this club manager told me, he said, listen, the most important thing for you to have is a reliable car because you got to drive headliners around.
Yeah.
Like that used to be part of the job. But now they're like, well, you better get an Uber. And then you find out your opener is an Uber driver. So you're still, you're just paying them now.
It happens. It happens still. But yeah, it was. But I remember, and this was, I don't want to say pre-fame for you because you were certainly known at that time. But I don't think you had done Last Comic Standing at that point. So a lot of people didn't know who you were. So I've been sort of following you for 20 years going, oh, that's my friend from the road. I met him. We went to Bob Evans for breakfast. This is my guy.
That's right.
That's right.
That's eggs and pancakes back in the day.
Yeah. That was it. But you were.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
I do. Those stories like that, that's part of coming up. You know, recently I read a post somebody put up. They said, It was an open mic comic, and they were like, I hate driving to open mics. I hate doing this and waiting to go up. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what did you think the job was? What do you think you just, hi, I'm here. Could I have my gig on Saturday Night Live? You know, I'm ready to host it tonight. Like, yeah, that's the work. I used to love that stuff because those were the experiences. That's how you got good, right? You hit the road and you had to grind it out. So, I love those stories, man. That was the life.
And you learn, and I learned from so many people on the road, and you were really, I'm not kissing your ass just because you're on the show. More than just about anyone I ever worked with, you gave me some great comedy advice. I took very little of it, but you gave it, and it was great advice. It was great advice, but hey. But I'm still in the game. Well, I'm hosting the Comedy Castle podcast. I mean, that's a pretty prestigious gig right there, yes. So I'll see you this weekend. It's always fun to catch up with faces that we haven't seen in a while. But there's so much going on in the world, and we got to get right into that. Because I would say, is it fair to describe you as a topical comedian? Is that a fair assessment on some level?
Yes, that is. Okay. I discovered some years ago that the world was funnier than me. So I started talking about the world more than I talk about myself.
Yeah. So that's what we can expect this weekend. You've got some thoughts on things.
Well, you know, Joel, I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's a few things that have been going on. our presidential election at this point is actually a reality show, isn't it? Come on.
It's ridiculous.
I've been on a reality show. I know how they work. It's no love. We've got shootings and porn stars and old guys forgetting their script and quitting. And now we have a black woman running.
And she laughs. She laughs. That's a problem. If she laughs, we don't want anybody that laughs.
People are mad. You know, we as a society, honestly, there's nothing we can't get angry at. You know what I mean? Like, how dare she laugh? Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. Yeah. There are people, and it's frightening, there are people that believe that France designed the entire opening ceremony to insult their religion. Like, yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely what they did. They got together and said, you know, what can we do to make the Christians laugh? Wait a minute. Is this like the ancient Greeks who loved to party and created the Olympics? And no doubt that the ancient Greeks were eating, drinking, partying. There were drag queens and who knows what was going on. No, that's not what it's about. Yeah. It's aimed at you.
Yeah. It is. I watched about 2 seconds of that opening ceremony. More than that. But Celine Dion was on the Eiffel Tower. And my fiance turns to me and goes, how did they get her up there?
Yeah, well, they put a check on the top. What are you kidding?
She's 86 pounds. There's many ways to get up there, but probably the same way a tourist would get up there is my guess. I don't know. But
the question isn't how you get up there. The question is the risk of the wind. With all due respect to Celine, she is small, and it is windy at altitude. Mm. But no, I am loving the Olympics now, Joel, with all due respect, you know, to white people. I love white people. All right. I love white people. But you understand we're taking over gymnastics, right? Because now we already had Simone Biles, but now we have the brother Frederick. Now the men are doing it.
Oh.
So you need to practice skateboard. We're going to let you keep that. All right.
I wish I was good at any of those things, but yes, they're fine. I'll agree with you.
That's another thing. Yeah. It's so funny. The comments, right? Listen, this is my favorite thing during the Olympics, trolling Olympic haters. Because these athletes, even in the sports you've never seen before, like, they're so incredibly athletic. The things that they can do, it's amazing. I said, literally, the swimmers can swim faster than you can run, right? Yeah. The runners are faster than you can ride a bike, and the bicyclists are faster than you can drive. And people are like, these guys suck. These women ain't no... Yeah, okay. Okay, let's see you do a double pike twisting with a two-hat and land without bouncing. Yeah. Which, by the way, in gymnastics, if you bounce when you land, we're taking away points. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's the only rule I know. It's the only rule I know.
I saw a little gymnastics, and it had been years since I'd watched gymnastics. And they were talking about one of our, it wasn't Simone Biles, but it was one of our gymnasts. And I watched this thing, and I go, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And all the commentators can say, well, she's getting marked down for this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Who cares? It's so ridiculous. Like, this is the most, no one can do what this person just did.
Here's my ultimate sports crossover, Joel. Okay. I want to see a gymnast in the NBA dunk contest.
There you go.
How fast would that be over?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Olympics are something else, man. I've not, like I said, I've not been watching, but maybe I'll check. I see the swimmer that the diver that failed on social media everywhere. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah.
He's perfect. Like, it's the greatest thing you've ever seen until it isn't, until he hits the water.
Right. Well, you know how diving is. If you splash, it's not a good dive. But that's what I love about the Olympics. We all become expert on things we know nothing about. Yeah. You know, we're watching a guy dive from 10 meters, which, by the way, is over 30 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, he over-rotated on that dive. Did you see that? He over-rotated. Yeah, that's not good. What are you kidding?
Right.
For most of us, anything from 30 feet in the air is a fall.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not a dive. It's a fall. You fell from 30 feet.
It's successful if you get up from it. That's the way a normal person looks at it.
I lived through that.
Exactly. I used to belly flop the high dive in high school, and I don't know what the hell. I don't know if that's why I can barely get out of bed now in my 50s. I'm not sure if those two are related, but that was my skill coming up.
Well, I'm looking in 2028. I'm going to try to medal in couch surfing.
There you go.
That is my new thing. No, I mean, I'm loving it, man. I'm enjoying the Olympics. I've always been a fan. I've actually been lucky enough to go to the Olympics and experience it.
Nice.
Yeah, when it was in LA in 84.
Okay.
I had a friend who worked for ABC who was televising it. So every day he would get tickets and we would just go to random events. And it was just, but the whole vibe was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I became a big team handball fan.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
That's all right. Hey, someone's gotta watch the team handball. I don't know.
That's right.
And the other social media thing I've seen is that America could not medal in shooting.
Yeah,
that's the punch. That's the statement and the punchline, right?
Somewhat embarrassing. There are some jokes that write themselves.
There it is.
And the idea that we couldn't meddle in shooting, it really,
something else.
Maybe because you only had to shoot one thing at a time, and we prefer larger groups. I don't know. I'm going to get in trouble for that joke, and I'm okay with that.
But you know, it's funny. It's interesting. I'm watching your latest special. What Stupid Don't Get Tired, right? And you come in and you talk about cancel culture and you say at a comedy club, there is no cancel culture. That's not why those people are there.
It really isn't. You know, Joe, I've been saying this since the special came out. I've been trying to get canceled. If you know anybody, every time Dave Chappelle gets canceled, he gets another $10 million special.
Yeah.
So if you know anyone who can, now, you know, you work at the club.
I do.
People go to comedy clubs to laugh, and there might be something they don't find funny.
Yeah.
But they're not offended by and it's rare. It's very rare. But if a comic spews actual hate, like if they talk about something and they really hate it, they're sexist or racist or whatever it might be, the audience picks up on it right away. You don't have to cancel them because the audience turns because they feel it. They know, you know, I mean, cancel culture is, hey, I read this joke out of context 3 days after you did it and I don't approve, you know. I got my own problems.
I always say that the biggest punishment for a comedian is silence. You say something you think is funny and they don't laugh, and that nothing hurts more than that.
Oh, and time moves slow.
Yeah. Well, it's like you take something that somebody says in a nightclub and you put it on the morning, you know, you put it on Good Morning America, completely out of context, shot with a cell phone. It could look bad.
Let me tell you something. You take a lot of decisions people make at nightclubs and put them on Good Morning America. Things are going to go bad. Forget about comedians. There's people making life decisions.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I've
seen, we would see that at the Bob. You go downstairs one floor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There were some bad decisions made there. There's nothing like having a three-floor nightclub across the street from a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Nothing bad's going to happen here.
What I remember
needed a back door,
and Dr. Grin's I think survived the pandemic. I think they closed for a minute and came back,
but it did. You've been back.
Yeah, is it the same?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
still a wedding reception right across from the comedy club with only glass separating the two? Is that a thing that still happens?
I think they still do them on the second floor. Yeah, still have them.
Yeah, but they would be right, like literally, you'd share a restroom with a wedding.
Right. With the with the catering place.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Because we would eat like the leftover. You know, this no one's eating this chicken picante from the wedding. It's leftover. These comics are hungry. Let's feed them. You know, and you'd get to eat wedding food most nights. But you'd also hear the chicken dance as you were trying to set up your closing bit. Maybe they fixed that. I don't know. None of that happens at the Comedy Castle.
No weddings.
No weddings.
Bachelorette parties? Yes or no?
There might be some. Yeah, I think we're post the peak of bachelorette season, but we get a few. I would say the pandemic has actually made bachelorette parties more tolerable now or less something. I don't know what that is, but I've noticed that.
I don't know why, but for some reason, a bachelorette party at a comedy club's okay. A bachelor party at the comedy club, someone's made a horrible decision.
Yeah, that is a weird, because you don't ever see a bunch of dudes at the comedy. I guess there's a few acts where, you know, like Dave Attell or something, you get a bunch of dudes to come out.
That might happen. Yeah. But generally, if I see a bachelor party at one of my shows, I try to explain to them, fellas, you were supposed to buy the tickets and then go to the strip club. This is just a cover story. You weren't supposed to actually be here.
Yes. We'll tear your ticket and then you leave and go to this.
Exactly.
Comedy club. Yeah. Here it is. Yeah. Well, you should offer that up. This is I think a way for you to sell tickets. Come to the club. You will take a photo with the bachelor party and then they leave.
Right, we just do it before the show and then get out.
And you get your ticket sale, you get your door deal money, you get whatever you got coming. And the boys have a cover story. You're helping I'm getting married next year. I might need a cover.
I'm here for you. Absolutely.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, we could take the picture this year. All right. Just don't date it.
You. There you go. Here we are last night, honey. I've actually said no bachelor party. That's my thing. I've said that.
Yeah. Well, you're grown up now. So that's, you know.
I've been to enough of them and I go, I don't need that now.
There are some things you realize that's a young man's game.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And you let them have it, you know. Where I live, it's kind of a new development, and there are some, you know, when they build a development, the first thing they do is put in the streets before there are any houses. Mm-hmm. So there's some empty streets, and the kids go up there with their cars, you know, their little Fast and Furious cars, and do burnouts. And people, like, let me tell you something, man, you get a Ring doorbell, suddenly you're getting the whole neighborhood's news through your doorbell, which I still don't understand how to turn it off. And people are complaining. I'm like, they're kids doing burnouts. Yeah. Like, let them do that. That's what they do. You know, then they find out what tires cost and they stop. That's how you let them.
Car culture's it's like back. It's weird. You kind of felt like kids wouldn't get into cars. And yet that's the young people are out there more than ever, I think. And I wasn't around in the heyday. Yeah.
I grew up, you know, I'm a gearhead, motorcycles, cars and all. And they were talking about it going away. And some of it has gone away. But a guy explained it to me once and he gave the best definition I've heard. He said, listen, the reason you're not into electric cars, he said, you like cars. Electric cars are appliances.
No.
And I was like, yeah. An electric car, it's an appliance to get from point A to point B, which is fine if you're OK with that. But I prefer a car.
Have you driven the Cybertruck?
No.
No.
No, I see a few of them around.
I do, too.
Is there more of a look-at-me vehicle than the Cybertruck? And you get a good look at them because they don't run for long. They die, and you just follow it. It'll be pulled over on the side of the road.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really how much of a look-at-me is it when you can't see inside of it either, though. To me, that sort of defeats the purpose because it's just all black and you can't. And from the back, it doesn't look good at all. I don't know. The guys buying those things. I've seen people customize the Cybertruck, which is kind of interesting.
I see some of them.
Yeah.
I see some of them wrapped in different colors. I think that's one of those things that you made a bad decision, but now you're committed. You're like, all right, I'm going to act like this is the coolest thing in the world. Because I'm here. And then the other people who have them, they're like, yeah, we'll play along.
Yeah, I didn't. I was a gear. Now, so my car, I was never really a car guy. But one of my, when the club shut down during the pandemic, I got a job test driving vehicles, Alonso. And I was working for Stellantis. Driving Maseratis.
That's the company that bought Chrysler, right?
Yes, yes. So that's the Maserati, Alfa Romeo, and Chrysler, all the Dodge, Ram. I was driving those things around for 300 miles a day. And you know what I learned? Don't drive a Jeep Wrangler for 300 miles a day.
Ooh, yeah, that's a harsh one.
That is not Wrangler
fun. Tough, right?
Those were bad days when I got a Wrangler. It's not fun.
You know what I found with those? If you're near a Dodge Charger or Challenger, give them room.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I don't know what it is about those cars, but the people who buy them, they're like, okay, every light is a drag strip. okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna give you some room to win this race. You win, you know. And driving in LA is like, woo, you 0 to 20 really quick.
Yeah. Well. You go up on Woodward Avenue on Saturday night after the show, you're going to see some burnouts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's great for Detroit, though, right? Detroit's always had the greatest car culture. And, you know, where else are you going to see a 77 Eldorado just totally restored? You know, I love those are the cars that I get a kick out of. The American cars from the 60s and 70s when steel was cheap and they said, we're going to use as much of it as possible. Yeah. You want a two-door car 25 feet long? We got one.
Giant chrome bumpers.
Oh, yeah.
Giant chrome bumpers that you couldn't hit anything with. You touched
and
them.
And when we hit something, it stays hit.
Yeah,
you understand?
That's true, yeah. The day, I remember my parents having a... We had a Caprice Classic, I think, at one point, and we had one of the big Chevys. What was that with the Caprice Classic? Yeah, we had an Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. I think
buddy of mine, when we were young, he had one of those Lincoln Continentals with the suicide doors, you know?
Yeah.
That thing was so long, like you would start turning the wheel and then just wait for the car to turn.
Man. Be the star of the block party with that thing around here.
That's right.
Let's get back into some of this topical stuff here. The election. We talked a little bit about Kamala Harris. Michigan, a big a battleground state. So I think in if I can give you a tip, which you do not need, but if you want one, you're going to have both fans of Trump and Harris in our crowd this weekend.
Yeah, which, you know, it's okay. Listen, the Trump fans won't like me, but that's not new.
Yeah. Right.
But here's the group okay. I don't understand, Joel.
Yeah.
The undecided voter. Okay. How do you look at Donald Trump and before Joe Biden, now Kamala Harris? Doesn't matter, either one. How do you look at them and say, you know, I'm really not sure.
Yeah.
they're so similar. I'm going to need some help to decide.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. How are you undecided at this point? You know, just what are you waiting for? That's the group I don't understand. Yeah. But listen, I'll have fun with all of them.
Yeah.
You know, again, you come to a comedy show and get mad because I don't agree with your politics. I'll tell you, Joel, the greatest compliment I ever received, I once got a review and they said I was one of the spawn of Carlin. And it's like, yeah. I mean, if George Carlin was alive today, it would kill him. Oh. But, you know,
he'd make the greatest special he ever made if he was around today. I'm convinced.
Yeah,
of that.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you can't laugh at this, you've got a serious. That's the problem. So many people are mad. Like I say, angry at everything. Joel.
Yes.
People are mad at Taylor Swift.
Yes.
How the hell are you mad at Taylor Swift? Hey, Joel, the pretty blonde girl is dating a football player. Really? Sounds like every high school in America. Yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah. like.
Yeah, that is that one I don't really get either. That's not my thing. But the other thing about undecided voters is for how many years now, the last 2 years at least, maybe more than that, people said, if we just didn't have two old white guys to choose from, then I would vote for whatever the other option was. And now you've got it and people still don't seem to know what they want to do.
Well, listen, when they said that, they didn't mean black woman. They meant younger white guy.
Yeah, baby.
That's what they meant.
Oh,
they, you know.
White guy. J.D. Vance. What a white guy. What a white guy.
Yeah, good. You guys have done well with that one.
Oh, he's
and,
so bad.
You know, here's the thing about J.D. Vance. Which name do we call him? I think there's been three. What is it with the right wing and changing their name? He changed his name. What was it? Watson or whatever the hell.
Oh, okay.
His name was... Nikki Haley, her name is Namorita. Ted Cruz's name is Raphael. It's like all the right wingers. You know how committed Democrats are to names. Barack Obama stuck with Barack Obama.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's amazing. When you know the Obama thing is almost amazing now to think about. You know, it was amazing at the time, but in hindsight, you go like, well, yeah, what? Let's go back to that. Let's go back to that mindset or whatever it was. Yeah.
Well, listen, that was a time when we thought George Bush was the worst president we could ever have. Remember those?
I remember.
Were those not the good old days when we thought he was bad?
Yeah.
You know, this is funny now because, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for. Right. So we have these extreme right wingers that want to do away with the 25th Amendment and let Trump be president over and over. It's like, oh, if you allow that, you know, Barack's young enough for three more terms. Like, watch how fast they would flip on that if Barack Obama said, oh, great, I'm going to run again. They would, right. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. No.
I don't know. I mean, look, you can't elect Trump, though, thinking like, yeah, he'll 4 years from now, he'll be great.
That's what they tell themselves. Is there anything funnier than a guy 78 years old telling you a guy 80 years old is too old? Really? 78? Yeah. Well, you're spry, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, good luck to us. Whatever happens, the jokes will be there. You know?
The jokes will be there. You know, and one thing we can say about America, okay, we have survived. At a certain point, you just have to say, well, listen, we'll make it. I don't know how we'll make it. Yeah. And it'll be a lot easier to make it if you inherit money, but we'll make it.
Right. Okay, this will be my last question, though. Do you think it is better for comedy to have one or the other get elected this fall?
No. You know, everyone thinks Trump is good for comedy, but I got so bored. How many times can you tell the same joke?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, okay, so today he said something ridiculous. And, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about or whatever. He's drawing cartoons on maps. But it's basically the same joke. No. Give us something new. Mm. Whoever it is, we're going to find the funny because we always find the funny. Yeah. But give us something new. I got tired of Trump jokes in 2017. I'm done. I'm working on Clarence Thomas. I need a new RV. I don't know.
That guy. Boy, we found out some things about those the Supreme Court in the last few years, haven't we?
Who knew? Yeah. Who knew? You know why the founding fathers didn't write rules about the Supreme Court? Because they didn't expect garbage on the Supreme Court. It's like, well, we're going to put our best on the Supreme Court, and America was like, hold my beer.
Well, Alonzo, this is so great catching up with you, and I'll see you this weekend. I'm really excited for the weekend. Five big shows. Come on out and see them. I can't remember the last time you were there, but I look at your picture every day at the club on our wall.
Well, I appreciate that. I look forward to getting back. And I love Detroit, man. Yeah. You guys are the greatest comeback in America has been the city of Detroit. Mm. They wrote you guys off a long time ago, and Detroit is a lot of good stuff going on, and I dig it. So I will see you this weekend. Detroit, we're going to have a hell of a good time.
All right, Alonzo, thanks so much for talking. We'll see you this weekend, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye. There it is, man. What a fun talk. Thanks again, Alonzo. I'm really looking forward to this weekend, man. Adam Deggy, Al April. Oh, let's do an auto nym.
Let's do auto nyms. I love
auto nyms. If you don't know Al April and his auto nyms, I'm going to do a couple before we go. All right, let's do some auto nyms. This is where he takes the makes of the car and he puts them. It's an acronym. Every car name is an acronym. Some of them actually are, but he takes acronyms out of everything. Yes. What does a Ford stand for? From old rusted Dodges. Fix or repair daily. Found on road. Dead. Flip over. Read details. Now, Al does these way fine, and he can do these off the top of his head. I'm literally reading them out of his book, but you do not have to get them out of his book. He will tell you them. You will challenge him. What does GMC stand for, Al? And Al will say, got mechanics coming, garbage man's choice. He's brilliant. He came up with these. He put them in a book. He sells them to you for $10. It's great. And one of my all-time favorites. Again, as I talked about working on the road with Alonzo Bowden and that week we did Dr. Grins, I had a lot of fun with Al April on the road. We did a run in Florida for a week, and guy was class, hilarious. Learned a lot from Al, learned a lot from Alonzo. Hope you enjoyed the talk. I know I did, and I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Hope to see you guys out there, all right? Come on out. Buy a ticket. Sarah Sherman Sunday. Get that one ticket. Get that ticket at 53. Get it. Go. It's still up there. I swear, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's yours. You got it. You can get that ticket. I believe in you. I believe you, my listener, will get that ticket. 53J, come on down. Thanks for listening. Catch you next week, guys. Bye-bye.